Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We live in a society, a world that thinks it is constantly getting better. They think they're constantly improving. They believe that mankind has achieved great things. And as the course of the past century is going, they expect even greater things upon the horizon. It's because of their worldview. They think that man is the ultimate, and that they are going to keep discovering new things and thereby making the world a better place. I guess it depends upon what you think better really comes down to. But the idea that man is, that mankind has now, is that it is founded upon the idea that man has evolved or gotten better over the course of his existence. That man today knows more and behaves better than those that lived 100 or 200 or 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. They believe that the modern advances of mankind are actually getting better and better. The Bible, on the other hand, does not present that picture. A biblical Christian shouldn't have that worldview, because Jesus doesn't present that picture. Jesus presents a completely different picture, and it's one that is not pretty. It is one that is not pleasant to think upon, but is necessary to think upon. It is one that shows that mankind is actually not improving, and actually cannot improve. That his state is the same as it has ever been, and will ever be, without the intervention of God. And that's what we're beginning to look at this morning in Mark chapter 7, focusing upon between verses 14 through 23. It says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without, entering into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." It's hard to understand now just how revolutionary a statement this was. You see, the Pharisees at the time had been teaching, and it was ingrained into the thoughts of the Jews, and it's ingrained into the thoughts of mankind ever since, that it is what you do that matters. That it is whether you do what you're not supposed to do or you don't do what you're supposed to do that reflects if you're a good person or you're a bad person. You can talk to people nowadays and say, "Well, I'm a good person." And you say, "Well, why are you a good person?" They'll say, "Because I haven't done A, B, and C. I haven't stolen. I am not a liar. I'm not this. I'm not that. And that makes me a good person. Or I give to charities and I help those that have need. And that makes me a good person. By these actions, it reveals that I'm good." That Jesus is giving a warning to the people. And it's based off of the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees had done that. They said to the people, if you do all of these things according to the law, then that makes you good. That makes you acceptable in God's eyes. And Jesus is letting them know that that is not the case. That these outward things, that can't help you inwardly. And it was all around, it started off with this idea of washing their hands, a ceremonial washing that the Pharisees did whenever they ate. They thought, well, if it's good for the priest, before he eats the showbread from the temple, well, then it's good for every meal. Let's apply it to everything. And if you don't ceremonially wash, not about cleanliness, not about getting the dirt off your hands, but if you don't ceremonially wash, then therefore you're going to be eating unclean spiritually. And therefore, whatever you put in, you've become defiled. And Jesus is saying, no, that is not the case whatsoever. That's not what's taking place. And so he's warning the people, and he tells them specifically, listen to what I have to say. Hearken unto me. Don't listen to the Pharisees. They're the blind leading the blind. Listen to what I have to say. And then he contradicts the Pharisees. He's not timid about it. Sometimes people get this picture that Jesus is a very timid individual. He's not timid about it. He contradicts them very specifically. That it is not what you put in, it is what is coming out of you that can defile you. He speaks to them with authority. He speaks to them with greater authority than the Pharisees do. And it's a fascinating thing to think about, that it's not the norm. We think of it now, and for most of us, you've been in church for so long that you think, well, this is just a normal situation. And it's hard to see how drastic a change this was. How drastic a situation this was. But if you could set your mind aside for a second and say, well, if I went to a Muslim, or I went to a Catholic individual, and I said, it's not about what you do, it's about what's already inside of you. What's already inside of you that's coming out of you, that's what makes you a sinner in God's eyes. That's how drastic it would be. Because it's a work, those are works-based religions. It's not about the works. Because it can't be about the works according to Christ, because you are already defiled by what's inside. Your spiritual uncleanness is what matters. And that comes from inside. You know, it's an interesting thing. We can blame a lot of people for what we do. And society today has gotten really good at it. It's a victim society. It's this idea that I only did this because of what happened. I am working with a lot of young men, lads that are 15, 16, 17 years old, who have been in custody. And we sit back and we look at their background and their home life is horrendous. And you say, well, they did it because of this. Well, no, actually they didn't do that because of this. Yes, maybe that had an effect in their thinking. But no man can make you sin. Have you ever considered that? No matter what I do to you or what anyone else does to you, it cannot force you to sin, to do what is wrong. Now, they may put pressure on you. They may convince you that what is wrong is actually right. And you may feel like you're between a rock and a hard spot and there's no other way out except to sin. But it is always you who is the sinner. No one else can say, yes, you know what, so-and-so, they made me sin. No, you're the sinner. You've sinned. You've chosen to sin. It's part of your nature. It's part of who you are. Jesus tells the people to perk their ears up and listen. Because this is a spiritual truth that you have to know. That you have to understand. And it's interesting because the disciples who have been around Jesus, about 2.5 years at this point, around that specific amount of time, they don't get it. They don't understand. It hasn't sunken into them all the times that they've heard him speak. All the teachings that he's given them, and they say, you know, Lord, can you tell us about this? Because we don't understand what's taking place. Jesus is surprised, in a human manner, that they don't get it, that they don't understand. You know, it's that phrase, how long have I been with you? And how many times have I told you these things, and you still haven't gotten it? And he says, what we eat, what we drink, it cannot defile you because it enters not into the heart, but into the belly. And then it enters into the belly and it goes out in the draught. So it cannot defile you. Therefore, the converse will be true as well, won't it? What we eat, or what we don't eat, cannot make us holy. The things we put in can't make us a holy individual. It flies into the face of those that, again, our Catholic friends who think of transubstantiation, that what we put into our body is going to make us holy. It can't make us holy. If it can't defile us, it can't make us holy either. It's what's inside of us. What is already on the inside and comes out, that's what defiles us. That's what comes from the inside, and it's sin, and that's defiling. And he gives us a list to think about. And they all come from inside, not from the outside. Evil thoughts. That's a simple one, isn't it? It doesn't take much to understand what he means by that. Evil thoughts, things that we're tempted and we linger upon it. We linger upon those things. Those are evil thoughts. You know, Satan and other things are going to bring things into your mind constantly. That it's not evil that those things pop into your mind. What makes it evil is lingering upon it, thinking upon it longer than just that moment. Push it out. Adulteries. You know, it's an interesting thing. Most of the time when people think of adulteries, of sexual sin, they think of outside temptations. But Jesus says, no, these are from the inside. These adulteries, these fornications, that's from the inside. And it comes out. That's what's defiling you. Murders. You know, how often do we think about a murder is what takes place in the heart? Remember what Jesus says. If you've hated your brother in your heart without cause, you're a murderer. That's a strong statement. That's a powerful thought. That's, you know, I don't have. So often, especially with some of the lads I'm dealing with, you think, oh, they've stolen to get by because they don't know anything else. They have no other means. But see, thefts come from the inside of the person, not the outside of the person. It's not based off the circumstances. It's based off what's in the heart. Covetousness, desiring the things that others have. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. You know, it's lasciviousness, it's not a commonly used word nowadays, is it? In Romans 13, it's wantonness, filthy words, unchaste thoughts, unchaste dress. All of those things, you look around our society today and say, oh, the morals of what society is, they're awful. They've always been awful. They will always be awful. Because society is opposed to God and the things of God, and it's what is on the inside of society that fleshes out on the outside of society. We can't expect differently unless God does a work. Unless society is not reformed in the sense of changing their behavior and their outward appearance, but is renewed from the inside. Until there is a great amount of regeneration that takes place in the hearts of individuals in society so that there is now more salt and light, society is not going to be any different. And the idea of making laws to change society, well, what's the point of that? That just makes us feel better. That doesn't actually change anything. An evil eye. How many times do we look at things and are scornful about it? And look at it in a bad way. Blasphemy. Blasphemy is from the inside, not the outside. Pride. We could spend all day on pride. We could spend all day on pride, how it takes us over without us even realizing it. It comes from the inside. It comes from us wanting to build ourselves up over others. Foolishness. You know, it's interesting that it's this list, it sounds so much about actions, but it's all about the inside. That these are things that flow out of you as an individual. It's an incredibly powerful statement by Jesus that we are all sinners because of ourselves, because of who we are, not anyone else. That no one else has done this to us. It's our defining characteristic. That the heart, as Jeremiah says in chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's our state. And that's our state before God. And that is counter to everything the Pharisees would say. That is counter to everything that society today would say. People would look at those of us that go to church and they say, oh, they're good people. Why? Because they're going to church. They don't look at anything spiritually. They don't look at anything in the heart. Well, how can they? They're blinded by the god of this world. That's to every one of us. Paul in Romans chapter 3, he says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul says that's where we all are. And as much as we want to talk about others, we ought to start first with ourselves. And it's an interesting point that he makes. He goes through all of these things. And these descriptions are really awful. Their throat is an open grave. The poison of asps is under their lips. And he's saying that's us as well as them. It's none of this stuff, well, they're bad and I'm better. It's we're all in the same boat. What is the foundation of it all? There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the foundation. That's the foundation of those sins. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's every one of us. Again, no one can make you a sinner. You already are one. That's how you were born. Only you can commit sin. Only you choose to commit sin. We can blame all kinds of circumstances if we'd like to. When it boils down to it, it's our fault. When we do something wrong, it's our fault. Not somebody else's fault. We have to come before God in that manner. So there's some implications to this. There's some implications to this that we have to consider. One implication of this is why Jesus was never defiled. You think about all of the miracles that Jesus performs throughout his ministry. He touches a woman with the issue of, the woman of the issue of blood touches him. According to the law, he should have been defiled. He touches a dead body to raise it back to life again. According to the law, he should have been defiled. He does numerous things like this. He should have been defiled, but yet he's not. Why? Because it's from the inside that flows to the out. And so he's not defiled because righteousness and life is flowing out from him. And he makes the defiled clean, as opposed to the defiled making him unclean. Why? Because it can't touch him on the inside. It can't touch his inner being because he is God. And so what flows from him makes those things become clean again. Light and life pours out from him. Augustine says light, even though it passes through pollution, is not polluted. You think about that. Light is still the same. We enjoy the sunshine streaming in, and sometimes it gets a bit bright. But if there was a factory on the other side of this building, and there's smoke coming up from the factory, yes, it might look like it changes the color of the light, but the light is still the same. It hasn't changed its nature, has it? That's the idea of Jesus Christ. He is the same, regardless. And he does the same for us through faith that he did for those people that were defiled. That he did for the leper. That he did for the woman with the issue of blood. That he did for those that were dead. And he's not defiled, but we're made new. It tells us, and it flies into the face of what people today will say, man is not intrinsically good. Man is not good. Man is evil. Man is constantly opposing himself to God. That's what man will always do unless God intervenes and gives new life. This statement totally does away with works salvation. And because it's clear that we cannot earn it if we're intrinsically sinful. If what's on the inside defiles me, then how can I ever overcome that without Christ? See, man understands rituals. Man understands, well, if you do A, B, C, and D, well, then you'll be all right. And so I do A, B, C, and D. That must mean I'm okay. The Pharisees never understood that the law, the sacrifices that they were making, was to reflect a heart condition. They thought, well, the sacrifice of this bull or this goat, that makes me clean. No, it's a sacrifice of the heart. That's what David tells us in Psalm 51. That's what makes you clean. Because of what Christ has done. Jesus tells us in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There is no getting around it. There is no earthly power that can make a bad heart good. Education won't do it. That's what people nowadays, for the past 50 to 60 years, they thought education will do it. If we just educate people enough, they'll never act like Hitler. They'll never act like Stalin. They'll never act like these awful people that do horrible things to humanity. And yet, what do we see today? The same things going on. We see the same power struggles. Education is not going to change the heart of man. Only God can do that. Culture, adding arts and theater and raising someone up out of poverty and showing them all these beautiful things. You know what? That may reform them on the outside, but what has it done for them on the inside? Absolutely nothing. It cannot change the heart. Social reform will not do it. No matter what laws are made that will reflect even what the Bible says, it will not change the heart of man. If today the Parliament said we're outlawing abortion, every Christian in the nation should rejoice. And yet, what has changed spiritually? Nothing. Nothing's changed spiritually because the heart of the individual hasn't changed. Revolution certainly doesn't do it. Being inside the EU or outside the EU doesn't do it. New trade partnerships, that doesn't do it. None of these things are going to make a bad heart good. Only God can do that. What's necessary? You know, Romans 6 tells us the wages of sin is death. Yet, there is hope. There is hope, isn't there? Thankfully, that's not where Romans 6 stops. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is hope for the sinful heart. There is hope for mankind. Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of God based upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that any who come to him in faith, he will give them a heart of flesh. They'll take away the stony heart, and he'll put his spirit inside them. That's a drastic change. That's taking the old sinful and setting it aside. Because now there's a new creation. Now there's a new heart. Now there's a new direction. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It sounds a negative, doesn't it? Except he be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. But that's a positive. Because guess what? You can be born again. And therefore you can see the kingdom of God. Therefore you can see and be with him. Because if, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things are become new. The old is gone, and there is new. And yes, we still battle today. If you're a Christian, you still battle with sin. You still battle with your old nature. But guess what? There's a battle that's taking place. That's a positive. Because before you were a Christian, there was no battle. And you may have looked good. You may have looked good on the outside. You may not have been doing all the bad things that everyone else was doing. But you were in the same state. You're still in the same position that Jesus tells us of. Because it's not what you put in. It's not what you do. It's what's on the inside that defiles you in God's eyes. You have to be made new. You have to come to Christ. You have to be changed. You have to get rid of your stony heart and have a heart of flesh. You have to be born again. That's the only thing that will change you. That's the only thing that can do it. And it's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in you to condemn you of your sin, to make you realize that you're a sinner. To make you realize that you need a Savior. To show you Christ. To save your soul. That's what we each need. That's what every one of us needs. And it's a revolutionary idea. It was revolutionary when Jesus said it. And just so you know, it wasn't the first time that this was said, is it? Because when I quoted Romans before, that there is none good, no, not one. What was that? That was a quote from Isaiah. God didn't all of a sudden say, well, Jesus is going to teach us this, and it's never been heard before. No, it's been heard. He's been saying it for millennia. But we haven't listened. The Jews didn't listen. The Pharisees didn't listen. And people from the past 2 millennia haven't listened. And they've taken the things of Christ and they've changed it to mold it after what they want. To that it's going to be this system that if you do A, B, C, and D, then you'll be all right. But no, it's just as revolutionary today as it was then. That it is not what is on the outside. It is not the things that you touch. It's not the things that you do that defile you. It's what's on the inside that defiles you. It's the things that flow from out. It's the things that flow from your heart. How can you speak something that is wrong unless it's already in your heart? How could you do something that is wrong unless it's already in your heart? You can't. That's where it flows from. Because no one else can make you do it. When Peter was there outside while Jesus was on trial, and he denied Christ 3 times, did anybody make him deny Christ? Of course not. That was him. That was what was on the inside flowing to the outside. That was his fear taking over, saying, no, I don't know the man. Nothing else can make us do that. No matter what. You can threaten as much as you'd like, but it's still my choice to sin. And if you don't have Christ, you will always choose to sin. You'll never choose the good. Even if it may look like it. Because it's what's on the inside. Because God looks at the heart. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does. God tries the reins. God is the one that will see your heart. He will see your heart is desperately wicked. And it's a fascinating thing. I think one of the best words in the entire scripture is a little 3-letter word, but. It's because when Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, God could have just left it there. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the hope. That there is hope for each and every individual sinner. For the things that are on the inside, they can be cleansed. Not by your actions, not by the things you do, but by the things that Christ has done. And that when you come to Him in faith, trusting in Him, He will cleanse your heart. And He'll change it from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. And you've been changed on the inside. So then all of a sudden what comes out of you is different. Now all of a sudden the things that come out will be the fruit of the Spirit instead of that list that Jesus gives us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What a difference it makes. What a difference it makes to know God. Think upon these things. Think upon these things. You know, we're always looking to make it us against them. And you can look at the evening news, you can look on any website you want, and it's always going to be an us versus them. And politicians get elected on us versus them. These people on the outside, Hitler did it, Stalin did it, Trump has done it. It's always going to be done. It doesn't matter which one it is, I'm not saying they're the same, but they do the same things. It's always us versus them. You know, the man that I would say is my mentor, he told the story that when he was a young man walking to secondary school every day in Cincinnati, Ohio, he'd be walking down the street, and the Ku Klux Klan, I believe everyone here probably knows what that is, they had a storefront. They owned the building. And in the storefront window, every day he'd have to pass it, there were articles put in at how bad the black man was, and how awful those of a different skin color were. And they were showing all these horrible crimes that they had committed. And he said, you know, I had to come to the conclusion that they were right. That the black man was awful. That those of another skin color were really just as bad as they made them out to be. He said, but you know, at the same time, during those formative teenage years, Malcolm X was prominent. And Malcolm X was constantly saying the white man has kept the black man down. That the white man has oppressed them and done awful things to them. And I had to say, you know what? Malcolm X was right. Because it's not an us versus them. It's we're all in the same boat together. We all treat others in an awful condition. Unless God does something to us to change who we are fundamentally through His Spirit. And then all of a sudden, what do? We start to try to apply that golden rule to treat others as we would want to be treated. Not because we're earning something, but because we're changed on the inside. We can't do that if we're not changed on the inside. We can apply it, we can try to apply it all we want, but we've got the wrong motives to start with. But once God works in your heart and changes it from that stony heart to the heart of flesh, then all of a sudden, you've got a different understanding. You've got a different motive. Because now you are striving to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Because He's written that law upon your heart. Oh, what a wonder to come to Christ in faith and be changed drastically from head to toe because your heart has been changed. We point you to Jesus Christ. Amen.